Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Agent J, a longtime surveillance guy, who'll be talking about how casinos keep track of Advantage players. It's been several weeks since Richard and I have been live in the studio, and we have bunches of things to talk about. This means our interview with Agent J will be shorter than usual, but part of this is good news. If tonight's half interview with him turns out well, we'll eagerly invite him back in the near future to continue the discussion. In the time Richard and I have been gone, we each took some vacation time. Or maybe Richard was playing the secret game somewhere. Do you have anything to report on your vacation, Richard?
No. I did take a trip during the time while you were gone. I was gone for a bit to an undisclosed location.
The secret game.
At the same time, I've been, you know, still unpacking boxes and getting the house in order. So,
is your ping pong table still in the living room?
It is. Where else would you put it?
Silly question. I apologize for asking it. Insofar as my vacation went, Bonnie and I stayed in New Orleans for a while and then took two back-to-back cruises, first on Carnival and then on the Norwegian, which was a seven-star signature cruise. On the signature cruise, we could each get $3,000 cash a day on our casino card, pay for it with a credit card. And because we're on the seven-star cruise, all the fees for this were waived. So we could each basically get $18,000 in cash and then pay for it later on our credit cards. Now, we both have credit cards where you get mileage or something. So getting all that extra cash advance on a credit card was an excellent idea, except we had to bring the money back into the United States.
Now, wait, did you have to play the money through it all?
Nope. I gave you cash.
Didn't the casino think that was weird that you were just taking out all this cash and not playing at all?
Well, I didn't ask them if they thought it was weird. We could do it every day. And Bonnie was looking at me, are you sure this is a good idea? So anyway, we took it back, declared on the form you get when you come back in the United States that, yes, we had more than $10,000, and they didn't ask us about it. So I didn't tell him any more than that. When we got to, the money was in cargo pants. And when I went to the New Orleans airport, put me in the machine where I put my hands over the top of my head and walk through, and they go, what's in those pockets down there? And so I said, I'd like to show you in a private room. And they go, fine. So two guys follow me into a room, and I said, is there a camera here? They go, yes. So I said, I was on a cruise ship in a casino. I did really, really well. So there's money here, but nothing else. And they looked at it, and they go, wow. They go, I wish I had a cruise like that. And I was going, well, it was a lot of fun. So they go, okay, put your money back. Go on your way. So anyway, it was no problem. And if I knew that it was going to be no problem, we would have maxed out the $3,000 a day times all the days. But I didn't know it wasn't going to be a problem. We've had, there's several incidences that Bob Nersessian talks about on people coming back in the United States and they don't have that kind of experience. So,
well, you were a real man there, Bob. I would have given all the money to my wife and let her carry it through.
Okay.
That's the first time an Advantage player actually was hoping there was a camera in the room. I just wanted to add that in there.
Oh, well, that's Agent J. We'll be talking to him later. I didn't know these types. There was two big football players. It was New Orleans, so most of the population was black there. They both looked like they could have played for the Green Bay Packers just a couple of years ago. And I wanted to make sure that... But they were friendly. They were impressed.
Yeah,
no
you
problem.
Don't fit the profile of a drug runner, so...
I guess. I don't know. I did have some Advil in my bag. Anyway, we received a question from a listener addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. He's a blackjack card counter, and he feels the pit is giving him fewer comps than he deserves. He wants to know what to do about this. Richard, this is your department, not mine.
Well, so the important thing is that when you get up from the table, first of all, I find it odd that he's a card counter, but he feels like he's not getting the comps he deserves. But if you're a table games player in general and you're concerned about the comps, when you get up from the table, ask the boss, how much do you have as my average bet?
And time played?
And time played. And how much do you have as my buy-in? Because a lot of times they miss the buy-ins. So maybe you lost 4,000 and they only have you down for 2,000. So yeah, if I am playing for comps, I'm going to ask him, how much do you have me in? And if they missed it, I'm going to say, no, you know, I was in X amount of dollars, you know, ask the dealer, you know. And I mean, I'm nice about it. The whole thing is, if you're playing a comp game, you got to schmooze everybody. You got to get the dealer on your side. You got to get the pit boss on your side. And when you buy in, you want to make sure the pit boss comes over and records every single buy-in. And you also want to call him over whenever you have your biggest bets out to make sure your average bet, you know, is up there.
Though you're standing on a 14 against a 10 when you have your biggest bet out, you want him to watch this?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be making a comp play if I was counting cards. You know, to me, they're two completely separate things, and I wouldn't want to mix them. So,
okay.
If I'm doing something that can get me thrown out of a casino, I'm not going to give them a player's card or my name, right? So, but if I'm giving them a player's card and my name, I'm doing it to collect a lot of comps, and... You know, and there it really helps to schmooze the bosses and the dealers and a lot of the tips from like Ian Anderson's burning and turning the tables.
Good.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Well, I received a video poker question also at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. It seems this player plays for quarters and loves to stay at the Wynn Resort. Now, strip casinos generally have pretty bad pay schedules for quarters, and the Wynn Resort is no exception. The best he can find is 7-5 bonus, which returns about 98% even when you play it perfectly. He wants to know if the variance will decrease if he plays the same game on triple play or 5-play. The answer, yes, it will. Sort of. If the guy is going to play a fixed number of hands on 5-play instead of single line, the total variance is 40% larger on 5-play. Not 5 times as large, 40% larger, even though he's playing 5 times as many dollars. If he's going to play a fixed number of dollars, say $10,000 coin in over a couple days, 5-play has 28% of the variance of single line. These are significant differences. Keep in mind, if you're willing to play quarter 5-play, you might want to look at dollar single play. It's a similar amount of dollars bet, and the advantage to playing dollars at some casinos, not the win, would be the pay schedule is better. So it might be that you get the 7-5 pay schedule if you're playing quarters, but the 8-5 pay schedule if you're playing for dollars. And in that case, it's better to go with the higher denomination.
You know, I would like to find a way to take people's variance for them and charge a fee for it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You want to be the Munchkin Insurance Company, and
I guess that's it. Yeah, sell them insurance. Yeah.
But in the in video poker, anyway, there's a lot of skill involved, and so insuring somebody who plays like I do is different than insuring somebody who plays like you do. No offense. And so it is hard to come out with a good prediction of what their skill level will be. Now, if it were a megabucks or something where the skill doesn't matter, well, then, yeah, that could be. But
or maybe I could just hang out in poker rooms and wait till there are hands where guys are all in, and then, you know, so you can look at the percentage of how often the hand will win and or not and sell them insurance, you know, in those situations.
Well, you had to pay attention to every card that was folded. And so you don't know if there's two or three outs because maybe somebody else.
Well, but they're just unknown cards then, right? I mean, some other player may know about an unknown card. But
well, they may have been exposed. Who knows? Okay. Richard, I understand you're now a card-carrying member of Twitterdom. Tell us whether you twick or tweet.
Yeah. I did. I finally joined the 21st century. I'm on Twitter at RWM21. So at RWM21. In fact, people, if they want to try to tweet us a question during the show, they could try to give it a shot if they're listening live. But mostly, you know, you are not going to see me tweeting things about I'm going into Starbucks to order a latte. Mostly it'll be about the show, who our guests are coming up, you know, sometimes I'll find interesting articles about gambling that I'll tweet, things like that. So
it'll be more similar in content to your website than
but much briefer and timely.
Uh-huh.
My website is timeless.
Ah, that's good. Okay. We had another video poker email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, this time concerning Ultimate X video poker. This is a game where the play on this hand is affected on what your score was on the last hand. The traditional way to do this is to look at the sum of the multipliers. The multipliers can range between 1X, basically meaning no multiplier at all, and 12X, meaning if the line scored 4,000, if it's on a 12X, it's going to score 48,000. On 10 play, this means the multipliers can sum to most numbers between 10 and 120. That's 111 different numbers, most of which are possible. So one way to do it would be to create a strategy to have index numbers for each hand, such as in double-double bonus for ace-ace-ace-7-7. At the low multiplier levels, you hold all five cards. And at the higher multiplier levels, you hold ace, ace, ace. And there's a number at which it switches, and it depends on the pay schedule. But it's different with its ace, 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 4-4. And so there's 130,000 different unique hands, and each one has an index, and some have two or three different plays, and so it gets complicated. Another way to do it is to have four or five different strategies, such as strategy one is when the multiplier is between 10 and, say, 29, and strategy two is between 30 and 57, and strategy three is the next range up. And so that's simplified. It's much easier to learn four strategies than it is 110 of them, but it's still a lot of work. The one I'm using is actually a single average strategy. So whatever the multipliers are, I'm using the same strategy with a few tweakings in there. On the wizardofodds.com, there are single strategies for some of the Ultimate X pay schedules. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of Ultimate X pay schedules. Five or six of them have the strategy out there. So if you want a different strategy, you're on your own. It requires significant computer skills to create a strategy. Even to work out how the next thing goes, how this hand affects the next hand, is a mathematical treatise. You can find a link to it on the Wizard of Oz website. It's 17-page math as to how to do this Markov change and whatever else it is. It's a lot of work. Good luck on that. All right, on the richardmunchkin.com website, there's a recent article about casino cheating in London. Richard, what was that all about?
Well, James Grosjean on his blog recently, his last post was about how casinos cheat. This is a question that we get asked often: do casinos cheat? And I'm very much in agreement with him. You have very little danger of a dealer dealing you seconds these days. But the way that casinos cheat now is by just, if you lose, they take your money, and if you win, they refuse to pay you. And one of the most egregious cases I've heard of in a long time, two guys in London, one of them a former guest of our show, were playing at the Playboy Club for 3 or 4 days, and they were leaving their money on deposit in the casino cage. And the casinos in London are private clubs, which you have to join. And anyway, on the last night, they went to get their money out of the cage, and the casino manager told them, you guys have been counting cards, and that's against the rules of our club, so we're just keeping your money. I was flabbergasted when I heard this story. I mean, Wow. This there was no allegation of anything other than counting cards. And, they're out 30 plus thousand pounds, which is about $50,000 U.S. Now they have to sue, right? Playboy Club, by the way, is owned by Caesars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have no.
I know. Scary. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling. I leave money on deposits at casinos all the time, and
Okay. Anyway, so that's how you may get cheated in a casino.
Uh-huh. So, okay, I don't have any rules of thumb, like don't go to London or anything like that. It's
funny because you think of London as one of the more civilized places, but. I mean, I know several people who have been...
I mean, there was the Phil Ivey case in London.
Well, I think that may have emboldened them. They thought, Crockford's got away with stiffing somebody. Why don't we try it? And it's got to be harder on an American to fight a case overseas. But I know several people who've been pulled up in UK casinos using computers. And those people all got paid. You know what I mean? Nothing ever happened to them, and they got they were paid. So I was just flabbergasted when I heard this story.
All right. Let's talk to our guest. Agent Jay is a 20-year veteran of the casino surveillance industry and has agreed to come on Gambling with an Edge to give us a look behind the scenes of what really is happening in modern-day surveillance rooms and talk about who's really watching you from the eye in the sky. Exposing his secrets and sharing with us how the modern advantage player is looked at through this. His actual experience is confidential for obvious reasons, but I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Agent Jay, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
How does the surveillance of video poker players differ from the surveillance of blackjack and other table game players?
Well, to start off, for the most part, the surveillance video on video poker is pretty much non-existent.
That's real good news.
Yeah, even if there's a known... I've actually seen you play.
I wouldn't... Not surprising at all.
Live, and we knew you were in the building, and I watched for an educational, not to actual survey you. So video poker is not really on our top priorities. Now, of course, card counters are on the top priority. So anytime we think somebody's card counting, we will definitely focus all of our attention on them and pass right past the video poker player. I actually think that a video poker player professional who's playing high limits inside of a casino is a great marketing tool for that casino, especially when that player wins a $50,000, $100,000 jackpot. It's great marketing. It's great marketing. The slot director who bonuses off the machines might not get to brag that month, but hopefully more revenue will come in because of that player's lucky streak.
So slot directors get bonuses based on the revenue month to month?
Whether they get a bonus or not, or they get to keep their job longer, or bragging rights to the GM, there's something there.
Huh. And you mentioned that card counting was a priority. Is that You've worked at a lot of different places. So is that something that they're on top of in real time, or does a lot of that happen with a tape review after the player is gone?
Well, that just depends on where you play. At some of your top properties like the Venetian, the Palazzo, they actually have a department which is game protection agents. They pay five or six agents a very well salary yearly, and their job is strictly to review winners that have played on the blackjack tables upon review most of the time.
Just blackjack? Or like if a guy wins $500,000 at craps, do they go review that?
They will review that, but they're going to review it as more what the value of the player is as far as comps go towards the casino. If like on craps, if he was playing the don't pass, playing through the don't come, well, then he shouldn't be comped as well because he was taking advantage of that game. So they will run those reports. They're a little harder to run because you can't always have bet shots on the wagers that are actually on the craps table. So they focus mostly on blackjack and baccarat play.
And baccarat play, are they mainly just looking for people that are cheating?
They're looking for people who are cheating, or if a husband and wife team come in, or boyfriend, girlfriend, one bets player, one bets banker, they're both betting the same amount. Somebody's going to win, minus the commission, of course. But those are people who are playing for comps. So they'll actually them together.
But
the comps aren't 2.5%. I mean, they're giving up 5% on half of it. So that's...
No. Baccarat's 1%, a little over 1%. So, but they're still each losing 1% of their money. I mean,
and giving up a 5% commission on half their bets.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. But that's not what the house is winning. I mean, the house is winning 1% on each bet.
Okay. So yes.
So I mean, it shouldn't affect their comps. Their theoretical loss is the same as if they were both betting on the same side. It's just the variance that they're trying to.
Well, I think they have, you know, these people who they're paying a good salary every year, and they want to use them as much as possible. So if there are two players on the table at the same time, one's betting player 500, one's betting banker 500, they want them to examine that play.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see if they should give those type of comps out to those players, because some of the players they won't even issue comps to if they realize your team playing to that aspect. Even if it's not that much of an advantage to the player.
That's because they're idiots.
I agree. 100%, and that's why I'm here.
That's a technical term.
That's why I've joined the dark forces.
All right. Now, how good are surveillance agents in terms of education, intelligence, dedication?
Okay, the common day surveillance agent is mostly security officers, cage cashiers, poker room dealers, even dealers who are too lazy to stand on the casino floor anymore. The casinos offer them a trainee position, so they come in because they know some table games, and they train them for 6 months. They pay them $12 or $13 an hour.
You can earn that at McDonald's, can't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah, the casinos have gone way down in pay rates. They don't respect surveillance at all. Another reason why I've joined the dark forces, per se.
But now for a dealer, isn't that a huge cut in pay? Why would they want to?
There's
do
a lot
that?
Of babies out there, though. They don't want the smoke in their face. They don't want to stand.
Wow. So, I mean, I have to say, when you said they were lazy, I have another friend who's in casino management, and he has always said that the people in surveillance are the laziest people that he's ever run across.
And those are the people that are actually watching you. So if you're an advantage player and you come into a casino and you do textbook card counting, you're making it too easy for the agents in the room. Okay, you come in with the ball cap covering your eyes. You come in betting table minimum. As soon as the count runs high on the flush, you're going to table maximum. What are you doing, silly? You're going to get your picture taken. They're going to send the photo across the city, and you're going to be done. You're making it too easy. So if you want to be a modern-day card counter, you have to learn some skills. Be an actor. Switch it up some. If you're betting table minimum and the count runs to a high plus 7, 8, 9, stay at table minimum. Yeah, sure, sometimes you're going to suck it up. It doesn't mean you're going to lose. You're just not taking full advantage. But if you do that, once you've noticed that your play is being watched, you could easily be overlooked as a dumb player in surveillance's eye. And then once they focus their energy on something else, that's when you hit them.
Yeah, you have to kind of show them action, though. I mean, you can't – if you bet minimum, they're not going to look at you anyway, right? Because you're betting minimum. So you got to show them some action, get them to look at you, and then show them that you're not a threat.
Show them that you're not doing what you're really doing.
But you mentioned ball cap. So now, is that a red flag? I mean, if you're in the surveillance room and you see a guy at a blackjack table with a baseball hat, is that
– That is one of the first things we look at. Are you trying to hide yourself? If you're not trying to hide yourself, that's one less. See, you have to understand, a lot of these agents aren't – they're not professional gamblers. You ask the common day agent, do you gamble when you're off of work? They would say no, which is just ridiculous. How can you be watching and enforcing games that you don't even play on your own? So that's like a Major League Baseball coach who's never coached or never played the game of baseball, but he's in there trying to coach people. So, these agents are very little trained, and there's like a checklist. Are they trying to conceal who they are? Are they moving from minimum to maximum table limits? How high are their buy-ins? Are they drinking alcohol or not?
Now, can you tell if they're drinking alcohol?
If you're good, you can.
So what if you have club soda with lime? Can you tell that there's no alcohol in that?
What I would do is we have programs that can go to each bar and tell – what the waitress is ringing up or the cocktail server.
Oh.
So we can actually pull up that screen and see if it's just a tonic and, you know, lime or an orange juice with
a
cherry
second.
In it.
The waitress will typically go to the bar and say, I got three tonics, I got two Coronas, I got a whiskey sour, and she has 5 or 6 different or 10 orders all at once. And then she puts them all on her tray and she distributes them. How do you know that which one is going to the guy on blackjack table 7?
Okay, well, I mean, a cocktail waitress can only carry 10, 12, 13 drinks at one time.
Okay.
And normally when they're working the pit, that bar is close to where the pit is.
Okay.
Okay, so it's kind of you look at what the player's drinking. So you already have an idea of what kind of drink you're looking for. If it's an orange juice color, you're looking for an orange juice type drink. If she rings up no screwdrivers, well, then you know chances are he's not drinking. And there's been times when it does get hard on a busy Friday night. I'll call the bartender. I'll put the cocktail waitress on the phone. Hey, what is that guy drinking? The guy over there, and describe him, and they'll tell us.
Wow. So I want to go back to the checklist. So They're trying to hide themselves. What about no players card or refusals?
Refusal is a big key. You make the surveillance agent feels more comfortable when they know who you are, so they feel like you're not trying to hide or be sneaky or tricky. So actually laying a players card down is a good way to kind of throw off the agent.
Do you have an estimate as to what percentage of players are refusals?
I'd say almost every advantage player is a refusal, and anybody who's not trying to take advantage.
But I mean, on a given night, if you have, you know, 1,000 people playing in the casino, is it 10% refusals, 20, 30?
It really varies. Just like the Cowboy Rodeo was in town, you're going to see a lot more refusals during that time. But they're also going to be wearing cowboy hats. They're going to be wearing the boots. The reason is they promise their wife they'll go to Vegas for the rodeo, but they won't gamble. So that's what they're telling their wife. They don't want the flyers, so they will play as refusals too. But the floor will advise us, so these are just some cowboys who don't want to give up their name. But, you know, that's Chuck, that's Mike, that's Steve. So they know their names. They just aren't interested in getting rewards.
So wearing a cowboy hat. So if Richard wanted to play in early December, he should invest in a cowboy hat and boots.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Be an educated advantage player these days, and you will go far. Because the common agent in the room is not educated. They're looking for those tail signs. So if you blend in with the crowd that's going on, you know, read which convention is in town when you're in town. Go to where the hotel where those people are staying. You know,
get one of those lanyards with a name badge.
Exactly. Right there. That's an educated move. That's gambling with an edge because you're blending into the crowd. You almost have to be like an actor. You have to blend in to your surroundings and don't be shy. You know, say hi to everybody. Try not to hide what you're doing. Act uneducated. It's just an acting game. And if you can pass those three or four checklists, you might not get looked again until three or four more hours go by, or until you're up 7, 8, 10, 12,000, depending on what level of play you're doing.
So I want to go back to the checklist. So we had hat, player's card, alcohol.
And then the movement from minimum to maximum.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty rank. I wouldn't expect people to still do that. But.
Oh, they do. You would see. And, you know, I have no problem with advantage players. I feel that a casino's offering a game. They've offered the same game for 40, 50, 60 years. I don't really know how far blackjack has gone back. If they haven't modernized it, then it's their fault. And if people have learned how to beat it, then that's the casino's fault. And to actually back people off of blackjack is just the most silliest thing in the world.
Well, I think it's even sillier. There are casinos that bar people from playing video poker. That seems really insane to me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's normally the deep pocket guys who they'll ban from video poker, or guys who've written books on it.
But even then, all they have to do is say, we're not going to give you any comps.
That's
it. You can still play. I mean, you don't have to bar the guy.
But I've seen a lot of local casinos too. They when teams come in a video poker, you can tell who they are. They're normally younger guys in their mid-20s, deep pockets. They have the $10,000 straps. They're feeding five-play machines, you know, at double-double games or triple-double, and they'll just sit there all night. And they have random speed. You know, you can tell how they're playing, their advantage, and they're playing with players' cards. And the way you can tell that video poker guys who are on teams is they always take advantage of the rewards that the casino's offering.
You mean like the double point days?
The double point days, the earn 500 points, get a $5 gift card, maximum 10 gift cards per day. Well, after their play is over, they might have won $30,000, but they're over there collecting their $200 in free gift cards, because that $30,000 really isn't going to them. It's going to the banker.
Yeah,
they're going to get their small percentage.
Well, by that definition, I'm a team player, although I have no idea who my team members are. So there's hookers in casinos.
Yes, there is.
Flash news alert. Do the agents keep track of what they're doing? Other than the obvious trolling for customers, are there other things hookers do that warrant surveillance observation?
What has happened over the years is the hookers have decided not to give their bodies up, but instead steal from people. So it's commonly known in the casino industry today as a trick roll. It's called by that through Metro, through the casinos. And what a trick roll is when the hooker will take a John up to the room, promise sexual actions, and instead they rob him. They'll tell him to go in the bathroom, clean themselves, and then they'll be outside waiting for him in the room. And then once the gentleman goes inside the bathroom to wash himself, the hookers will grab the wallet, the watch, the laptop, the iPad, and they make a dash for the main doors. This happens on a regular basis.
Seems kind of stupid. I mean, the hookers have to know there are cameras everywhere.
They really don't care. They, you know, they wear wigs. They wear fake eyelashes. They feel safe. And they also have pimps that are telling them to do it or you're going to get beat up. So they really have no choice. Mm. I mean, they make $200 or $300 for a 20-minute session or whatever, or they can rob the guy in 5 or 10 minutes and make $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 stealing the wallet. A bit of advice, a lot of what they'll do is they'll tell the John that you get a 2-for-1.
A 2-for-1?
A 2-for-1. $300, $500, $200, especially if they know you have money, and me and my girlfriend will both come up to the room and pleasure you. Never do this, guys. There's no such thing as freebies. The reason for that is you're guaranteed you are going to be robbed. One's going to tell you to go in the bathroom and clean you while the other one's cleaning you out, literally. And it happens. I mean, you would believe how many times it happens. So it's happened so much to where surveillance has had to get involved with it and actually start taking pictures of these women, trying to identify them, work closer with Vice Metro to try to identify these girls. We'll send security officers over to ID them. The second they're ID'd, they never have ID, then they just leave property. So that's basically what happens. They know it's a game. It's a cat-mouse game. There's been the properties I've worked at, there's been girls, the same girl trespassed 7, 8, 9 times. But when she finds that drunk guy, all she knows, she has to get to that main bar, grab a guy and get to the room and hope that security or surveillance doesn't catch her. And then there she is going through the back door. I mean, these girls know the back stairwells, how to get the exit. You know, they used to use the Nextel walkie-talkies where they would text their pimp and tell him, pick me up out here. I've actually seen pimps go up to the room once the girl's inside there with the gentleman, and then they just rob them blind. I've seen guys chase the girls down. You know, guys will be in their underwear or more. And
or
they,
less.
They, or less. And they wouldn't even be pleasured because as soon as they were told to go in the bathroom to clean up, the girl, you know, grabs and dashes. And she's running down the hallway, and this guy is running after him, you know, butt naked. And it's a common thing. And it's really sad, too, because these people, you know, they expect to get what they're paying for, and they don't mean the hookers any harm. But the hookers don't mean to pleasure anymore. It's a whole different industry. So the robbery level is really up. So if you're coming to Vegas and you want to get a hooker, be careful. You know, leave all of your valuables in the safe. Don't leave anything out. Hide it under the bed, behind the drapes. Just be careful. Have a friend stand by. I mean, it is illegal. Remember that.
Or take one of those limos out to Pahrump, right? They'll come and pick you up for free. So.
Oh, yeah. And you could go to a strip club in this town. I'm sure you can get more than you need, or a massage parlor. You know, there's a lot of honest working women out there. There's no need to pick up the lady that's hanging out in the
honest
slot machine.
Working women,
next
good.
To
all right. All right, let's go on to something else. Floor supervisors, from a surveillance point of view. Lawrence Revere, in his landmark book, Playing Blackjack as a Business, which was written several decades ago, spoke very disparagingly about these pit critters. Are they any better today?
No. What they are dealers who are tired of having the smoke blown directly on their face, so they decide to go as a floor supervisor. Normally, they're getting older in age and not with wisdom. They've been a blackjack dealer for 25 years, 30 years. They're not observant. They don't, you know, if you are a player yourself, you go to a blackjack table and you sit down, you buy in. Floor person walks up and says, you got a card? They don't introduce themselves to you. You know, they don't ask you your first name first. You can always deal with the card later. Get to know your player first. But these floor people, they're also trained with the checklist too. It's almost like everybody's a robot these days in the casino, and the personal respect that should be given to players is gone.
Yeah, I think pit bosses have actually gotten worse.
You
know, really, they're mostly clerks now. They're so busy running around, logging all the players' cards, writing markers, watching more tables, and really nobody educates them about the game. So, you know, my experience is they really don't know much about the games. And, I mean, I was a dealer 35 years ago. The bosses knew a lot more about protecting the games, not from advantage play, but from cheats, right? They were much, much sharper about, you know, about the cheat guys who could cheat. But, boy, now they really don't seem to be.
Well, and even if you cheat and if you're respectful to them, half the time they'll let you get away with it. Oh, I didn't ask for a hit, or I told her to stay, or I wanted insurance. But if you're nice to the floor, they'll say, okay, go ahead, just clear it, let's keep moving. So the chances for shot levels have gone up because they don't really even realize you're taking a shot.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. So, I mean, can the players really be charged with crimes of taking shots or pinching or capping if nobody knows that's what their really intention was to do?
Yeah.
It makes for a strong case. And most days these casinos are less and less charging people with those type of crimes. Instead, they're either letting them play, just clearing the hand, pushing everything, or they're just asking the player to leave.
How often, or how rare, I guess, have in your experience, and you've been doing this for 20 years, how often does a player actually get arrested for cheating? You know, like how many times a year does that happen?
I would say it depends on the case. I mean, if I had to put a number on it, I probably couldn't. I could tell you this, maybe only 3 out of 10 cheats, people who actually cheat it, will get arrested. When the gaming control board comes on property, they are, inexperienced as far as policies and procedures on games. They want the agent in the room to explain to them what the person did instead of just being able to look at the video and knowing what that person did. So it depends on the level of the agent. If a gaming agent shows up and they ask the surveillance agent, well, explain to me what they did. You have a surveillance agent who does not have much experience trying to explain to a gaming enforcement agent without much experience what happens. Most of the time they go, they scare them, they harass them. They force them to give up their ID, which they always hand over to casinos. So I remember you guys had mentioned that on a show previous, how where law enforcement works for the casinos, and they really do firsthand. They really do. If you don't want to give your ID up and they believe you've committed a crime, we'll call Metro. And they'll come out. They'll ID you first off. If you don't give ID, then Metro takes you right to jail. And we're going to get the information from you. So it's kind of...
Yeah. But, I mean, have you had entire years where nobody's gotten arrested in the casino that you're working at?
For actually cheating?
Yeah, for cheating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what about... How about... employees getting arrested?
Now, the employees, it depends on the scale and the level. Most of the time, the employees are just put on suspension pending investigation, and they're sent home, and then a couple of days later, they're terminated by human resources. Human resources has changed over the years, and to even put cuffs on an employee inside of a pit is an actual too big of a liability to do.
Where, oh, I thought they liked to do that.
Oh,
to
they
make
love
an example
to do it
in
back
in
the day.
Dealers.
Absolutely. These days, no way. It's not politically correct. We don't want the lawsuit. You can claim that you were hurt. Back in the day, I've even asked gaming agents to, on the way out, walk the person through the pit area so all their fellow employees can see them do it. And they would do it. Now, they want the back door. They don't want to violate anybody's rights because everybody's so happy these days.
There's a couple of casinos in Las Vegas, Aria and Cosmopolitan come to mind, where the surveillance is reputed to be so good that Advantage players are better off avoiding those casinos altogether. Would you agree with that summation of those casinos, and are there other casinos that should be put on the do not play there list for that reason?
The reason why I would agree with those casinos is because, like I said before, they have the game protection department to where the 6, 7, 8 agents are only assigned to evaluate people's play, to where your other casinos don't have that. So if you go to an MGM, they don't really have a game protection area. You know, so they don't have – you have operators who get phone calls all night long about closing tables, markers, pit fills. So –
Now, in surveillance, you have to watch – do you have to watch every time somebody writes a marker or – every time somebody opens a slot machine, you have to watch that?
Watch, no, but log, yes. We have become more operators than agents over the years. And some casinos go as far as calling you an operator. All you do is simply answer a phone that rings nonstop, and you make log entries. And you spin a camera on it as you're typing. So if they're opening a kiosk, you know, kiosks carry a large amount of money. Now they're just like an ATM machine. So you'll get a call over the security radio opening kiosk 2. So as an agent, you copy that transmission, you spin a camera on kiosk 2, and now you have to log that they were at that kiosk during that time. Okay, so if you don't have a game protection department and there's 7 counters in your on your floor, what are you focused on? Then you get another call that we're, you know, doing 2 e-drops because these 2 slot machines are filled, the validators are filled. So now you're spinning a camera on that. So we become more operators and logging of information than actually doing what we should be doing and is standing back and watching games.
Now, what do you think of OSN, Biometrica, Griffin?
Those are actually the casinos. Some casinos still pay for their service because they want to be able to say they have the service. But what's happening is all the directors, they like to be linked in. They use the app LinkedIn. They all like to communicate because they're all worried they're going to get terminated, and they try to be best friends with the director next door in case they need a job. So what you have is a bunch of directors who are worried about losing their jobs every other week. So what happens is if there's an Advantage player and you get caught and you're obvious and it's really clear, the room will make up a flyer. They'll put your picture, what you were doing, what kind of games you were doing, your bankroll, all that information, and they will email it to about 40 to 50 directors that are all across Nevada. And then the directors, if they think it's good enough, they'll go ahead and send it to the actual agents working, and then it goes into a file. So with the, as the technology grows, I don't think Griffin and biometrics are really used as much anymore. It's
well, OSN is free, right? So
right, but if you have to install the program, it gets to where a lot of people don't even want to deal with that.
Huh. So have you used the facial recognition software with Biometrica? Have you tried using
no,
that?
No, I haven't been able to do it. What I have learned is that a lot of the casinos are too cheap to spend the money on the technology that's required. Even though if you use Facebook, it's really simple once you take a picture of somebody to identify somebody that's already in the system. But the problem with the facial recognition programs that are offered to the casinos is somebody has to download all these people's information first. So what I could see happening is in 5-10 years from now is people actually using Facebook to use the recognition program because everybody's picture is in Facebook. So if you're a card counter, get off of Facebook, get off of those
social sites.
Yeah, I was going to
say, any Advantage player that has a public Facebook account with their picture on it.
Well, you see that. You see a lot of young guys who learn, you know, how to count cards, which is very simple. They learn the basic strategy chart. They take, you know, their $4,000 or $5,000 tuition money and they fly down to Vegas and they jump on a table and they go from, you know, 25 to 500 times two. I mean, they make it so obvious. And they've just burned themselves for their whole pretty much career. They come in with the cap. They don't drink. They sit next to each other. They're talking about the count to the dealer. Once the dealer gets off on break, she walks up to the floor. You know, you guys are making it too easy for these people who are all very lazy.
Yeah.
You know?
But obviously those people aren't professionals. And
no,
you know.
But they have the skill. They could be. But they think that's all there is to it. When there's so much more. So
Yeah, okay,
so they're not professional, but they have the ability to be professional. I just think they don't realize how much of a trap they're really walking into by doing that. It's more than just, okay, it's a plus nine, let me go all in.
All right, we're talking to Agent Jay about surveillance. We have some more questions for him that we're going to get to right after some commercials. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. Oh, I have the wrong commercials up here. Good. I apologize. Through December 24th, the most things you can buy at the South Point are half price when you use your accumulated points, which is bowling, show tickets, those kind of things. Probably the best deal is Michael's Restaurant, which has very highly rated cuisine, but it's pricey. Using half price points, it's an excellent value. Now includes the New Year's Eve shows. There's several different shows at different budgets. Bonnie and I are going there to hear Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers with piano music beforehand by Wes Winters, who's one of our favorite guys to dance to. If you want to party with us, get your tickets soon because the event is likely to sell out. And by all means, buy them before December 24th using your points. Because they're half price that way. There will be 2x points video poker Christmas Day, midnight to midnight, no limit. They usually also offer double points on New Year's Day, but as of this afternoon, no announcement has been made yet. This kind of thing has been known, the announcement has been known to happen at the last minute. The next semester video poker classes will be at the South Point, probably beginning in late January. The exact date has not been determined yet. At the Palms, there's the usual Friday night drawing, 7 p.m. You do not have to be present to win, but you must claim your prize prior to midnight or it evaporates. You earn double drawing entries on Tuesdays and Sundays, 5x drawing entries Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m. to midnight. PFP, play for prizes, through December 26th is cash, up to $190 per weekday, Monday through Friday, redeemed at a rate of 0.2%. That means it takes $95,000 a coin in to receive an extra $190 in cash. You can save up your points through December 26th. For example, if you wanted to play $570,000 coin in tomorrow, which is six times 95,000, and then collect the 190 each of the 6 days remaining in the promotion, you could do that. If you forget to come in on Tuesday, though, you've lost it, because it's a max of 190 per day. All month long, but from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., players randomly receive up to $100 in free play just because. If your card is inserted and you're actively playing, you have a chance. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games for practice. If you sign up for a gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. It's a good place to practice quick quads, for example. You can get the strategy from the Wizard of Oz website or mine, but if you want correction, you have to go to videopoker.com. No other readily available casinos or player software does this. For most players, you have no idea how badly you play until you have a computer program correcting your plays. The game of the week, with cash prizes, is 25 play super times pay. Super times pay is a 6-coin per line game, meaning it costs 150 coins to fully load 25 play. Every 15 or so hands, you receive a multiplier ranging from 2x to 10x, and when you get that, all scores are multiplied appropriately. Super times pay adds approximately 0.25% to whatever games appears on, and no change of strategy is needed. So if you have a choice between a particular pay schedule with the same pay schedule at super times pay, by all means, take the super times pay. So slightly higher variance, but it pays 0.25% more. This is our last live show of the year. Both Christmas Day and New Year's Day. Happy holidays, everybody. We're going to be rerunning tape shows. We wish to thank all three of our sponsors for helping us put on this show. We know by our email that a lot of you learn a lot during these broadcasts. I, for one, know that I learn a lot just studying up, trying to ask intelligent questions. I'm hoping we can do this for a considerable length of time. All right, Jay, we got about 1 minute left. So, and then we're going to have to ask you back because we got lots more questions. Is there a particular kind of clothes or jewelry or whatever that screams card counter to these lazy surveillance guys?
Not a particular one, but if you are hiding your face and you're covering it with a hat and you come in with the same three rings on your left hand and that huge watch, you're given a sign. Because remember, most of the time we're looking straight down at tables. All we can see are your hands. So if you're wearing a shiny bracelet, three rings on a finger, just change it up. Be educated. You know, blend in. Do a Google search and find out what conventions are in town. Be smarter. If you beat the checklist, you could beat the casinos.
Good. I want to remind people to send us your questions at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com and facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge.
All right, everybody. Good night. Happy holidays. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.